We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, everybody? Welcome inside the Guilty as Charged podcast. That fucking sucked. That was not very fun. So, you know, obviously coming to you live right after the Chargers' historic loss at the hands of the Jacksonville Jaguars with my guys, Tyler, Arjun, and Alex. Tyler, we'll start with you, man. Are you okay? You doing good?
I'm doing okay. My mom cooked dinner and we ordered food from every which random place, and that was nice. So I'm at least full, you know. I'm not upset and starving, and honestly, at the end of the day, we're all Chargers fans. We've kind of been here before, and being here with you guys, being here with everyone in the chat, really just everyone throughout the season, win or loss, like, we're here with Chargers fans, and that feels good. So love you guys, love everyone in the chat. I appreciate you guys being here, so I'm good. As long as we have each other, we're good. With that said, fuck, that sucked, dude.
That was very well said. I wouldn't want to process this terrible, terrible evening with anyone else. Alex, what's up? You okay? You good? How we doing?
There was a moment. I believe it was 27-7, 27-0. I don't remember. But Arjun messaged the chat and said, they can't fuck this up. And me and Tyler were both like, yep, they can't fuck it up. They can't do it. It's impossible. There's no way. And by golly, did they fucking find a way to screw the pooch on this one. They're the first team in NFL history with a 5 turnover differential to lose. I don't know where to start, man. Steven, you're the host. You can, you know, take the reins on this one and what we start talking about, but.
Whew. Yeah, man. I've seen a lot of shit over the years for the Chargers. I think this is a new low. Granted, I was only in like middle school when the Marlon McCree thing happened, so I don't really remember that, but this one definitely takes the cake for me. So you know, we'll see how the night goes. Obviously, you know, we've got some comments and questions that I'm sure we'll get to. A lot of things that we have to process tonight for sure. You know, last but not least, Arjun, you okay? You doing good? How we doing?
It's tough, man. I mean, I like I felt pretty confident on the show last night. Even today morning, I woke up. I'm like, I do feel like it's going to be like a Staley masterclass. First half, Staley masterclass. Every drive, Staley masterclass. And then it just turns to shit. And it's just like, I haven't, you know, I've been a fan since I grew up. Didn't really like understand the 2006 stuff because I was little, but this was by far the worst loss I think I've ever just experienced. Just being up that much, blowing it on the road, all the narratives, everything was set up for Staley to, you know, dominate in that first half, and he did. And then second half came, and the worst part about it for me was I was like doubling, tripling down on Twitter, just like I was like, oh yeah, masterclass.
Understandably so, yeah.
I predicted this, right? And I just, it just appalls me how you could be that good in the first half and then stink it up that bad in the second half. I just, from an outside perspective, I don't really know if there's any explanation at all for what just happened.
No, I think this tops the list of things I can never really wrap my head around seeing on a football field. You know, I think everybody who really talks about this sport always emphasizes how important the turnover ratio is and like how important it is to win that battle and play good on special teams. And, you know, the Dicker missed kick aside, I thought the special teams did play pretty well tonight. Came up with some key moments, but losing or winning the turnover battle 5-0 and losing the game is something that I can't say that I've ever seen. And you know, it just sucks, man. Like, you know, we're all here to process all of this. I feel terrible for what these players are probably feeling as well.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, we all love the Chargers, and we're here to you know, be fans of the team and watch these players. And a lot of these players did a lot of great things. I mean, like Morgan Fox had a career season, Bryce Callahan, Michael Davis had a career season and then gets injured tonight, and that really changed the game. You know, Jamari Sawyer stepping in as a 6th-round rookie was a great story this season. Justin Herbert battling through these rib injuries and not having Keenan, not having Mike, and all of this stuff, and dragging this team to the playoffs, all for this shit to happen. I feel awful for all of us, obviously, that are talking about it, and all of you guys listening to the chat, but you know, these players deserve so much better than what they got from this coaching staff, specifically mm-hmm. the offensive coaching staff. It took me a while, obviously, to come around on the Joe Lombardi concerns. Mm-hmm. But this offensive game plan tonight was truly atrocious. And you can start with Brandon Staley, and I think he obviously deserves a lot of credit or a lot of blame, excuse me, a large share of the blame for sure. But the way that this staff approached this offensive game, you know, you don't have Mike Williams, and you know, we talked about the roster management, and Joe Lombardi deserves a lot of blame for that too. And then you lose Jamari Sawyer, and I think 6 of their 8 rushes in the second half were to the left side of the offensive line with a literal tomato can at left tackle. Like, I'm sure Foster Sorrell is a nice guy. But Zion and Trey Pipkins have been crushing it all year Dude. Long in the run game. And you're running every single time to the left. Like, again, Brandon Staley deserves a lot of blame for today. I don't know totally. If he's going to be able to come back from this. But the way that Joe Lombardi has approached the second half all season long, and particularly tonight, is atrocious coaching. Like, I think from a large-scale football standpoint, the takeaway is that Doug Peterson – you know, coaches laps around what Joe Lombardi does on offense. Like, I've never seen offensive coaching gap that large in a playoff game than what we saw tonight from Doug Peterson and Joe Lombardi. So, yeah, never seen anything like that. I truly have never seen anything like that. And if Joe Lombardi is even has an average game plan, Chargers probably win tonight.
It's so tough because there are 25%, let's say 25% of this game where I think I like that. That thing seems to work, like, you know, running right, the way they were getting Keenan Allen involved in the red zone, even though it was 0-for-2 in those situations, trying to get the tight ends more involved, even that played a parm that didn't work. It's like, okay, you know, there's something there. Otherwise, boy, that was not just the runs that went left behind Foster Sarah, which I don't understand, which is like the biggest offense to me overall. It's just for whatever reason, one quarterback looked very comfortable in the second half and another one did not. And granted, the one who's looked more comfortable in the second half had a terrible first half. But for whatever reason, whatever they did, it's all kind of a fog in my memory now. Doug Peterson, Trevor Lawrence, and that system, they found a way to get him comfortable, get things working. Whatever Joe Lombardi called in the second half, yes, run plays left were terrible, but Herbert never looked completely comfortable. Things were off sync. Herbert does deserve some blame for missing some things. He's human. It happens. But the biggest fault is that in that second half, up as much as they were, Joe Lombardi didn't seem to make it easy or make, you know, anything that made Justin Herbert comfortable in that game or in the second half. And he's gone. Like there's no way he's back. I can't imagine he's back. And extending from that, we will get into all this at some point, but just because I did get a message literally right after the game, I think we do have to talk about Tom Telesco and again, we went from Jamari Salyer, who thank God he was even on the team this year, to Foster Sorrell, and that clearly was not great. They went with four wide receivers last week, and you know, Mike Williams gets hurt. Bandy gets no reps. Bandy goes into the game today, and he kind of screws up some plays, it seems, or whatever happened on that sweep. I don't know. Anyway, the message I got after the game was someone needs to be fired for roster management. And so I think a combination, whatever they're doing on offense, whether it is Joe Lombardi calling plays or whoever is doing the personnel, whatever, someone has to go. This whole offensive operation is offensive. I hate watching it. Something needs to change.
Yeah. Real quick before Alex jumps in, I mean, Max Vega hit it up before the stream even started. You know, Joe Lombardi is absolutely in danger. So appreciate the big super chat there from Max.
Thank you, Max.
Yeah, that it was tough to watch. I like when DeAndre Carter came out of the game and they had to put Michael Bandy in, and Joe Lombardi. What's emblematic of Joe Lombardi season is that he's never stopped doing the things that don't work. There's no other play that demonstrates it better than a Michael Bandy fucking end around as like the biggest fuck you I've ever seen. You're up 20 points. It was funny then. And then it wasn't funny because it was that same shit, the same stubbornness that we got for the rest of the game. And, you know, for them to run it to the left as many times as they did, despite Foster Sarrell being out there, I don't even know. Like, how you can have an offensive game plan that's that bad in the second half. And I mean, part of the reason the Chargers, you know, lost this game is the first team to win the turnover battle by five, like they didn't like take advantage, you know, outside of the second half, they, you know, they converted some field goals in the first. But like, I don't know. They never really consolidated, those drives into touchdowns towards the end of the second half, or the end of the first half, I should say. And I don't know, it's just so disappointing to see Joe Lombardi do the same stuff that we've seen the whole year. And, you know, when they were on this 4-game winning streak, it was like, okay, it's cool. But, you know, when you finally had to go against a playoff offense, you know, that is going to respond to the punches that the Jaguars took in the first half, when you finally have to respond to, you know, drive for drive with a playoff head coach and a playoff offensive coordinator, Joe Lombardi just couldn't do it. And I don't know how this is sustainable. I don't think it's been sustainable for large portions of this year to continue with Joe Lombardi as the offensive coordinator, but they did it because they were keeping him to the end of the season anyway. But yeah, that was pretty disastrous. Did not give Herbert any easy plays. And when you compare that to what, you know, Doug's adjustments were in the second half in giving Trevor Lawrence easy plays and giving him slants across the field and making life easy for him after he, you know, had this awful first half.
Yeah.
You know, like Doug Peterson play by play got his quarterback back into the game. Joe Lombardi play by play took his quarterback out of the game. And that's about as succinctly as I can kind of say it. And yeah, you know, we can talk about Staley, and I'm sure we'll get to him at some point. But yeah, this was a pretty disastrous offensive game, and it's just something's got to change. And right now, as I'm seeing it here, the problem really wasn't personnel as much tonight. It was absolutely the coaching.
I think also, I mean, I don't think Justin Herbert played the greatest game. I don't think he was bad either. It's tough to really just like figure out what he's supposed to do in this offense. It felt like in the second half, it was constantly third and long. This early down run game was just horrific. And it's like, I mean, I think you guys have kind of brought up all the points. There's just like no faith. I just have no faith in this offense in general. It feels like everything is super hard for Herbert. The best plays were tight end screens. Everything else I feel like is Herbert either having to step up in the pocket and throw a dart, make a tightly contested throw. It was just an abomination of a game from the offense in the second half and the defense. And I mean, I don't know, like I'm not that big of a scheme guy to know like what the defensive adjustment was to what Doug Peterson did, but you could just watch that game and tell Trevor Lawrence was throwing from clean pockets almost all, like every single snap in the second half. Mack had the occasional sack there in the fourth quarter, but it felt like Lawrence was throwing from clean pockets all game. And then the story, I feel like, of the Chargers season, you get them to second and 19 and you get a bullshit DPI on a 4-yard hitch, which all you have to do is tackle him and you're in third and 15. I understand making a play for the ball. I think that was the right play, but it symbolizes kind of everything that went on with the Chargers this year. And I think it's just hilarious that, or it's not hilarious. It's dumb how DeAndre Carter gets hurt. Everything us four have been talking about, that they activate four receivers on game day, and every, like, Michael Bandy is playing significant snaps in a playoff game. That is, and your quarterback is on a rookie deal. You should be able to do whatever the hell you want, whenever you want.
Right.
And Michael Bandy is the third receiver for at least one half of a playoff game. Look, the last thing I'll say, you know, I was hoping Herbert wouldn't kind of put up a stinker. I don't think he did. Mm-hmm. I do think there will be a lot of takes. I think they are warranted. There's just something that, it's not that I don't feel confident in him. I just haven't seen him like take over a game this year. He did it last year at times. He did it a little bit this year, but there is something. It's not that it factor thing. I just haven't seen him kind of lead a team start to finish to victory. Because I think other players like Mahomes, Brady, they would have had a touchdown to put that game away. He did miss Keenan on that third and goal. It's tough to really say like how to like divvy up the blame. Majority goes to the coaching staff, but I also think part of it goes to the players as well.
Yeah, I think part of it goes to the players, and like Arjun said, with roster construction, you know, we literally sat here on the stream yesterday and we were like, well, if DeAndre Carter gets hurt, you're kind of fucked. Like, and that's, we said that if, you know, he gets hurt on a kick return and here comes Bryce Callahan. Oh, he's in on the punt return. What happened? And, you know, the rest is kind of history from there. So I think the reason that, you know, a lot of people are going to say that large scale change needs to happen past Joe Lombardi too, is that Tom Telesco is responsible for this roster and, you know, the resources it doesn't have every week to sustain itself, right? The fact that Michael Bandy is wide receiver three is all on Brandon Staley, Joe Lombardi, and Tom Telesco, right? Like the fact that the Chargers, you know, never really drafted, you know, a receiver this year. I'm not saying that would have like changed what happened today, but, you know, they just sort of invested in like, okay, well, here's our preseason guys, and like, we're just kind of going to invest and see which one's the best of them. And Michael Bandy was the winner of that sweepstakes, and he's playing wide receiver three tonight. Like, it was just painful to watch. And it's all of the little things that just built up over the course of the season in regards to roster management. And, you know, in terms of like coaching, you could say that there wasn't one thing that went wrong, but everything that happened in this game tonight was emblematic of what we saw in the best of the Chargers, I guess you could say, and the worst of the Chargers this year, right? And we've seen plenty of games like this. You know, the games the Chargers struggled to win, the games the Chargers, you know, got blown out like by the Jags, you know, all the time ago, right? So, it's just been, everything was kind of, you know, leading to this moment. I didn't think it would go this badly, where 27-0 will be a thing that's talked about for years and years to come. No coming back from that one. And I don't know. It's just every problem that they've had in the last 2 years under Staley, under Telesco, just reared its head tonight. And it was all the little things that went wrong, in addition to Herbert not playing like he was perfect, right? In addition to like all those things, because Lawrence didn't play like he was perfect either. But the coaching around him is better. The roster management around him is better, even though the Jags aren't as talented of a team as the Chargers. You know, say what you will, the Jags fans were attending their last game of the season last year wearing clown wigs. You know, that's how shit that roster was. That's how everything needed to be rebuilt from the ground bottom. And the Chargers are just sitting at this point where it just feels like the Chargers kind of need the same nuke, so to speak, because everything the Chargers have built for the last 2 years hasn't worked, and it's the same problems they're experiencing over and over again.
I appreciate the fact that Tyler's just over here like playing with his dog while we're all just like basking in the shit show we just watched. It's just like I think the biggest difference here between these two teams that we watched, it's the lack of easy buttons, right? Like I think you look at the way that Doug Peterson is able to scheme things up where, you know, he's going to get Evan Engram and these, all these guys in space, and he's going to use this speed analysis, and, you know, Zay Jones and Evan Engram and Christian Kirk and Marvin Jones, like that's not an elite supporting cast, but they sure looked like one tonight, man, because the way that Doug Peterson was just dialing them up, and everything tonight for the Chargers was a fucking slog. You know, you have all week long to prepare for life without Mike Williams this week, you know, whether or not they knew 100% certainty that he was or wasn't going to play. You know, they should have been prepared for life without Mike Williams this week. And, you know, Joshua Palmer, I think, has been a fine wide receiver too, you know, adjacent at times throughout the season. Where were his easy buttons? Where's the effort to get Joshua Palmer going? You know, he 2 catches for 31 yards. Mm-hmm. Where's the effort to get Keenan Allen some easy touches and get him going? You know, the only player who got easy buttons tonight was Gerald Everett, and it was all tight end screens, like Arjun was saying. And just the stubbornness from this offense. Like, how many times do we have to fucking watch this Austin Ekeler screen game? And I think Austin Ekeler's had a fantastic season. It's not a slight on him, but it never works. It never works. And, you know, Trevor Lawrence is getting all these RPOs. He's getting out on the move. And, you know, Justin Herbert with a fourth string practice squad left tackle is, you know, asked to do traditional 7-step drops on every single fucking play. It was ridiculous watching that offense operate. And, you know, Herbert probably deserves some blame. I mean, 25 of 43, 273 yards, one touchdown. So he didn't play perfect by any means. I don't think he played bad. 5.9 air yards per attempt tonight. 5.9, according to Mina Kimes and Next Gen Stats. Like, it was a shit show from Joe Lombardi. And, you know, we'll get to Brandon Staley here in a second, I'm sure. But there's no way Joe Lombardi should be coaching this team next year. And frankly, I'm taking a nuke to the entire offensive coaching staff at minimum. At minimum, the entire offensive coach staff can leave. Like I'm not attached to any of these position coaches either. Like, I think Kevin Coger, maybe, you know, we'll see about him. I think, you know, he got some offensive coordinator interviews last year, but, you know, people want to see what Shane Day has. I don't think Shane Day is anything special. I don't think the running back coach is anything special. Like, the entire offensive coaching staff can go, and Joe Lombardi should be left in Jacksonville.
I don't disagree, and certainly with the new offensive coordinator there will be a new staff. I would imagine they maybe keep Shane Day because it's the whole like, oh, connection and, you know, whatever, but otherwise, man, that whole offensive coach staff is going to be gone.
All right, we'll run through some super chats because we're getting there's a lot of them right now, and appreciate all of you guys. I think this is the most people we've had in the stream all year, so Yeah, you know, we love you.
More
guys.
Embarrassing losses.
You know, Tim Stewart obviously just sent in a super sticker, so appreciate that one. Tyler's mom sent in a big super chat. She said that you guys did an amazing job covering the season, worked your ass off to provide this incredible content, and you know, we do work our asses off to do this show. So appreciate that. Tyler's mom obviously always in here doing super chats, so can't thank her enough. And apparently she's a new Chargers fan, so what a way to baptize her into the fandom.
She's a 100% a diehard. I mean, she's always supported, but this season, man, and getting to go to a couple of games, she's like just super diehard. And of course today I tweet like, my mom's a new diehard fan, and we're up 27-0. Yay! You know, we're all so excited, and then that happened. So I don't know. Maybe she's switched fandoms by now. I don't blame you. You know, mom, I want you to live forever. So just get out of here now. I'm stuck.
It's not worth the stress.
Yeah, no, not at all. Just get out of here. I love you.
All right. Next one here from Teresa Compapas. He says Lombardi 100% has to go. He's 50-50 on Staley. If he vouched for Joe at any point, then he 100% has to go. And then he says this one hurts more than McCree.
We want to table the Staley discussion for a little longer, get through the super chats, and then maybe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Solo man, go Utah. It's been a rough couple weeks for my teams, man. It really has not been fun for me the last few weeks.
Steven, I'm with you with Michigan.
I know. We've gone through it, man. See, Alex, at least your team's not like Rutgers isn't even a thing. Like, you don't even have to be stressed about
Rutgers basketball, baby. We're like fourth of the Big Ten right now. So watch out.
There you go.
That's awesome.
Got to fucking pivot somewhere after this shit.
Hey, you get some tennis talk too. You're good.
Oh, God. If Nadal loses tomorrow after this, I'm just going to hide for a few days.
I was just going to pull that one up. Teresa again says, Joe better not even be on the same plane ride home. Yes, leave him in Jacksonville. It's just atrocious.
I'll just go through if you want to read them off.
Yeah, you go through. You're clearly faster than I am at it. Tim Stewart says, Alex, you got to stay with us, my dude. I don't know. I don't remember if that was in reference to anything. But
Yeah, I don't know. Worst losses of all time.
Depressed Chargers fan says worst losses of all time. Number three, 2004 versus Jets, lost 20-17. I believe that is the Nate Kading game, if not mistaken. Number two, this game. And then number one, the Marlon McCree game from 2006. I think that's probably a fair list, although I don't think any of us really remember that Marlon McCree game very much.
Yeah, when they're in the postseason, it's definitely worse. I mean, honestly, week 18 last year really sucked.
Yeah,
it's funny, I almost tweeted today, I have the same feeling going into this game that I had going into that week 18 game, which is supreme confidence the Chargers are going to win. And I mean, geez, but yeah, we've seen a lot. I remember leaving early from that Saints game in San Diego because I thought they had wrapped it up against the Saints after getting the ball back or whatever, you know, forcing a fumble. And then by the time I got to the tram, the Chargers had lost the game. So that was not good. That was the stretch where they lost, I think, three or four games where the odds of them losing the games at a certain point in the way that they did was like 1 in 3 or 30 million or whatever. So that was
tonight at one point they had a 98% chance of winning according to ESPN. So
great.
So there we go. That's,
I mean,
fun.
There's a lot of bad ones. I mean, Texans Monday Night Football.
Texans last year.
Texans last year.
Any Texans loss.
The fact that you could count multiple Texans losses tells you there's a fucking problem. Yeah, Broncos Monday Night Football. Broncos in the Anthony Lynn era, 16 plus point lead.
2020 in general.
Oh Jesus, 45-0. I mean, that's an all timer.
2018 postseason loss to the Patriots, complete blowout. This is fun. We could just list off.
Y'all gotta look at Braden's new tweet.
Yeah, I was just gonna bring that up. So
what do you say?
Emmanuel Acho tweeted the picture of him holding up the social media QB jersey that he made an hour ago and said the Chargers will always charger. And then Braden Fajoco quote tweeted it and said, you was just on here crying 2 days ago about people abusing you on social media. Mr. Uncomfortable Conversations couldn't cut it in the league, so you're trying to cut agendas. Bum.
It's true.
Oh man. Whatever. Not gonna give him any more time. We gotta get through some super chats too.
Yeah. Michael Lopez says, blow it all up, build around Herbert, get Sean Payton, even if that means getting rid of Derwin or Joey in the process.
Big changes are coming. Well, big changes are coming. I don't know if they have to do that if they want to get Sean Payton. I don't think that works. But
I don't think that's mutually exclusive there.
Okay, we can say that Joey was pretty ass today though, and he did cost the Chargers that slop list by Callahan was beauty, and then Joey's offside, two unnecessary roughness on Sportsman. You're in your what, eighth? You're in the league, like, you can't be making those fucking mistakes as a veteran. No. I can understand Trevon Walker doing that shit. I don't understand how Joey Bosa is doing that. Obviously, the production was still there when he was healthy, but like, this I just don't get it. And he was getting locked up by Jawan Taylor. Like, we're not going to talk about like how he just wasn't getting like one missed hold. Yeah. Jawan Taylor had him in clamps all game. He was getting chipped and stuff, but still, I didn't see one impact play from him.
Yeah, I think like the offsides, like I think that was probably a little ticky tacky.
Yeah,
but if you're Joey, you can't be yelling at referees and like tossing your helmet around and slamming it like while you're on the field. Like, literally walk six more steps and then do whatever the fuck you want with your helmet if you want to slam that shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was a game changing play, and you know, Doug Peterson ends up getting to go for two, and it was you know, a great quarterback sneak call. So, Joey Bosa, absolutely. He should know better than that. It was a massive mistake on his part. I thought that he played really fantastic over the last 2 weeks, but he was not great today. You know, and obviously made two big, big mistakes in terms of penalties. I think he ended up with 45 total yards of penalties tonight.
I'm really curious. We'll never know, although we guess we could try to dig and find out if he really did get hurt against the Broncos or something really did pop up, because I mean, the numbers were great before that. And then all of a sudden, you know, the last time we see him, he's, you know, hurt, but then Staley says he's not hurt. And then he goes into this game and has a not so great game. Maybe Jawan Taylor's had a good game. I don't know. As far as the penalties, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of discussion about that penalty at the end that caused the Jaguars to go for two. To be completely honest, with the way the offense laid a goose egg and then, you know, the Jaguars were moving down the field, Jaguars probably just would have scored a touchdown anyway with the momentum they had. Like, there's no doubt in my mind, the Jaguars probably would have scored a touchdown. So definitely a lot on Joey. And I'm going to wait to hear what happened on that first unsportsmanlike call, because I mean, unless he said something terrible, like it seemed like he was frustrated, yelled something as he was walking away.
The ref kind of ran him down,
and ran him down and threw a flag. So, you know, I'm not excusing the behavior on the sideline, but I feel like there's more I want to piece together. And then regardless, like, people will talk about that penalty for sure, but I think the Jaguars would have scored a touchdown if they needed it anyway.
Yeah, but you're not trading Joey Bosa or Derwin James. You're not doing that.
Not Derwin.
You literally cannot trade them.
Yeah, they're not movable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I think people know my opinion on blaming the refs, especially when you blew a 27-0 fucking lead.
Yeah, it's not on the refs.
Not the lead.
Yeah. If anything, I felt bad for Jaguars fans in the first half to some extent.
Yeah, they were bad on both sides. You know, they were definitely some. Alohi Gilman definitely got away with the pass interference in the end zone, for example. So they were bad on both sides. Joe Cruz says, how can we ever trust Staley again? He has to go. I think the lack of trust is definitely something that needs to be addressed. So, again, we'll kind of dive in there in a little bit here.
We'll get there. Hey, we're over 1,000 live viewers. Woo-hoo! Thanks, everyone. Woo-hoo!
Appreciate you guys, man. Crushing it tonight. All right, Tyler, let's get to the next one. Jake Ballard said, I'm sad. This is all coaching for everyone saying trade Bosa Scruff. It is all coaching. I absolutely agree with that.
Oh, gosh. Here we go.
Ricardo says, why are we focusing on Lombardi's job security? Staley needs to go. We should be focusing on him and his body of work, not just Lombardi. We are absolutely going to talk about Brandon Staley. It's just that Joe Lombardi was the worst coach on the field tonight. So Max Vega, I'm done for Tom Telesco. Hiring first-year coaches like Mike McCoy, Anthony Lynn, and now Brandon Staley. I think it's time to hire a veteran coach.
Yes, I think that's where they'll pivot if they do fire him.
Hogwatch, it's all running the ball. Impacts everything.
Yeah.
I'm scrolling, baby.
What does that mean?
You guys are so...
Chargers can't run the ball, so...
Yeah, I think he just meant how shit they were.
You have to run it 75% of the time or whatever.
Yeah. Joe Cruz, I have not seen Staley make any progress since his first two games as a head coach. First game, Commanders, sketch win, second game, Cowboys lost. Nothing has changed since then. I think there are some things that can that have changed, and Tyler kind of highlighted a little bit of them this morning.
I would say the way he does some things with the roster, maybe, but as far as at least from last season, I don't know if I can say that Staley's taken a big step forward or a real significant step forward as an on-field coach. I mean, we're still seeing, you know, do I feel any different between week 18 last year and today? Not really.
So just real quick on that.
Yeah.
I think he's gotten better at the whole game, like managing the game. He's really good with timeouts, really good in 2-minute scenarios for the most part. I think before today, he was pretty good with challenges. I didn't mind the challenge. Today, I don't think burning a timeout or whenever the offense burned a timeout or the defense before the challenge, that was bad. The fourth down regression has been awful. That is, I'm not saying that's cost them games because obviously we don't know if they would have converted had they gone for it on fourth down. But whatever happened that he got less aggressive on fourth down definitely hurt them. And yeah, I mean, I have never really seen him be a great in-game adjuster like some of these other coaches are. And so, yeah, I do agree with whatever that take was that, you know, he wasn't that great.
Yeah, and particularly the lack of aggression and going for it on fourth down, I mean, shows in this game against Doug Peterson, who basically was like, look, even if it fucks me, I'm going to take the 2-point conversion, right? You know, and he went for it on quite a few fourth downs. Obviously, you know, you could say that he kind of did it in a position where he had to, or they were down, you know, 27-7. But at the same time, it was like, you know, you just saw the difference in terms of, you know, we give like Gus Bradley, for example, a lot of shit in terms of like playing prevent defense and doing that with a big lead. And I don't know, I sort of saw some of the same things from Staley tonight. Like, I mean, in terms of just what he did out there. And then, of course, just it felt like he was coaching in a way where he was assuming Lombardi would put up points and then Lombardi just wasn't putting up points.
Sure, yeah, that's actually a good way to put it. Yeah.
You know, and so, I mean, both of them, in terms of how they coach the game sort of together in that sense, I think really cost them in this game against Doug Peterson. And like Arjun said, the fourth down regression was a big part of why the Chargers even came close to the playoffs last year. Mm-hmm. And for them to not go for it as much this year, I don't know if there's a specific game where I would say it would cost them, but to not be as aggressive and meet the moment and the way that Doug Peterson did, I mean, like it did really cost you tonight.
Yeah. And to both of you guys' points, you know, Arjun retweeted this tweet from Eric Eager. Chargers kicked a field goal on fourth and goal from the 4. They kicked a field goal on fourth and goal from the 5, fourth and 3 from the 22, all in the first half, I believe.
They did the same thing against the Cleveland Browns this year. And the only reason that they won that game is because Cade York missed the field goal in which Staley decided to go for it on fourth and 2. So, I mean, yeah, fourth down decision-making, the taking the field goals inside the 10-yard line, like those have been things that have been constant, you know, throughout the whole year in terms of managing the game. And doing it tonight in this way against this particular coach, it absolutely cost Staley.
Yeah, and Eric said that they go for all of those last year. I don't know if they would go for every single one. I think the take the field goal in the second half, I think you probably agree with doing that. You definitely needed points in that regard. But you know, I can't remember a single time Brandon Staley kicked a field goal within the 5-yard line last year.
And I feel like Brandon Staley also considered like what the point in the game was, right? Or like what you're stretching the score to. Because in reality, like you know, the decision to kick it in the field goal that Dicker ended up missing, you know, you were stretching a 2-possession game to a 2-possession game. And that's something that I know Arjun has like kind of said before. So the, you know, again, the Jags need a touchdown at the end of the game if Dicker just hits that field goal. But at the same time, like, they also would have just needed a touchdown with a defense that was pretty much fully breaking down to win that game either. So I don't know if going for three or, you know, would have, you know, made a huge difference, like, instead, or if they have that 3 points, I probably changes how the Jaguars and the Chargers call the game, but the Chargers defense kind of fully imploded by that point.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to some of these other super chats here, and then, you know, we can chat about our beloved head coach. Christian Hernandez says Jags switched to man second half, doubled Keenan, and nobody else got open. The O-line sucked too. Play call was the same. Jags were ready for that play action shot. Yeah, again, this is the easy button thing for me. You know, Keenan getting double teamed, you have to have an answer for that. And, you know, Doug Peterson had answers and Joe Lombardi did not. So,
you know, when your whole offense is predicated on your receiver winning one-on-one battles, there's no mesh, there's no rub concepts where you're able to beat man coverage. And you're, you know, Keenan, I think, has been good since he came back. He's still, I think, not the same receiver he was. Palmer, I think he's been fine, but he's still, like, I don't know if you can rely on him. And you have Bandy as wide receiver three. There, you have to create as the offensive coach, offensive play caller. You can't rely on these players to win one-on-one matchups, especially given their age, their status, and just playing an away game, a crowd's like, there's not a lot going for you. And I think I agree with whatever Christian said. The Chargers just couldn't figure out the Jags man defense. And I think that, you know, that's why we saw Herbert taking more sacks than we did in the first half.
Yeah. Go ahead, Tyler. I don't know if you had something else there.
Yeah, just I don't watch enough of the plays and keep track of the plays, but it just feels like, in particular with the run game, there's some tell, or just they're running the same plays over and over again, where it just seems like if you ever play like Madden Mobile and you call the same play over and over again, at some point, like, the defense just drives through your offensive line. If you've played it, you know what I'm talking about. It's just what it feels like sometimes with the Chargers and Joe Lombardi, where it's like, I think the play should work. And I think that the way they call it, like, there's enough good blockers and good backs and whatever. But the Jaguars and teams all year have been keying in on exactly what the Chargers are doing. Like, you can tell even in the run game, like, not just stick concepts, like, even in the run game, guys know, the teams know what the Chargers are about to do. And I don't know if there's a tell. I don't know if they just run the same thing at a certain spot or whatever. I don't know. But that's a huge problem that it will be addressed, I'm sure, by a new coach, I hope.
Yeah, and I think it's a combination of Doug Peterson making that adjustment, right, in terms of what he did to stop the Chargers offense in the first half, or in the second half, I should say. Plus, I mean, obviously Michael Davis gets hurt. And after Michael Davis got hurt, the Chargers had no answers for anybody, whether it was, I mean, Evan Engram, Christian Kirk, you know, Zay Jones in particular, right? Like, and Michael Davis's loss was definitely felt in that game, particularly with Zay Jones. But at the same time, like, the whole secondary should not hinge on, like, Michael Davis, right? Like, Derwin obviously kind of needed to play better in this game. And, you know, you still had Asante Samuel Jr., you know, Ja Taylor has been serviceable in some snaps, right? And you saw Bryce Callahan as your kind of weapon too. So the way that this secondary was kind of coached in the second half, you know, particularly the last 10 minutes or so of the game, also after Michael Davis was out, I don't know, like, it just kind of goes back to how, like, top heavy this roster is a little bit, where it's like, okay, if you don't have Michael Davis or JC Jackson, you know, what kind of is your secondary? And it was just kind of a full, like, implosion tonight in that regard. And yeah, I don't know what you do going forward there. Obviously, they have a decision to make on Michael Davis. I assume he'll be back. But yeah, just really tough stuff in general for, you know, Staley being the mastermind that he is to, you know, or that he's supposed to be, to not really be able to figure out how to do anything in that fourth quarter without Michael Davis and not getting pass rush pressure. Didn't figure out how to manufacture anything. Just didn't have answers.
Yeah, their usual stuff was not working. I mean, how many times did we see Drew Tranquil or Kenneth Murray just get, you know, swallowed up by Brandon Scherff on the right side? And, you know, obviously Bryce Callahan had the one sack that got negated by the penalty, and then Kenneth Murray had a great sack. But the second half, the usual stuff was just not working. And, you know, Brandon Staley didn't have any counter punches. So, is what it is there. All right, we'll get to some other ones. Ricardo said Joey Bosa's behavior in the end was unacceptable. I agree. Absolutely agree.
Yep. Absolutely.
Derek White, Ficken and Ansley are the only coaches I actually care about keeping at this point. Man, I love Ryan Ficken. I think he's such a fantastic coach. Like, I was laughing there. You know, they give up the biggest return of the season to Agnew, and then he does a pooch kick to the blocking tight end. Like, I was just laughing so hard at that. I mean, you know, Troy Reader using one of the other Jaguars players to like run into the punter legally was fantastic. So whatever happens with the coaching staff, Ryan Ficken needs to stick around, needs to get a raise. Mm-hmm. And if the Chargers lose him, I'm going to be very, very upset.
Yeah, 100% agree there. I'm seriously just, I know we're going through this. Thank you everyone for sending in these super chats. Sorry, we're not getting to anything else, but like, this is a lot. So thank you so much, guys.
Yeah, Aries Creed said, at halftime, I told my friend, Jags will adjust as Chargers tighten up and play safe. They'll lose. It is so disappointing to see less creativity in these situations. Lance Terrazona, I think I said that right. He says, GF and mom are with us in this therapy session too. Appreciate the family watching the podcast tonight.
Go get different mobile devices though. We need the three views, not the one.
Stories. I low-key blame Boltby for jinxing us.
Blame me. I took the victory laps.
Hey, we were all taking victory laps at halftime, man. Like, yeah. Again, if you would have told me at halftime that, or if you would have told me today, like 6 hours ago, that the Chargers would get 5 turnovers from Trevor Lawrence and company, I'd be like, hell yeah, they won by like 15, right? Yeah.
Right.
Arjun, you've bet money on the Chargers twice this year.
Yeah.
Right? And
so it's just, I shouldn't have done. I usually emotionally hedge, and I should have done that. But it's fine. It's fine. I'll get over it.
Hopefully not too.
God, we got a guy in the chat saying we need to trade Justin Herbert to get Caleb Williams. What are you on right now?
Oh, that has to be the Fire Telesco guy with the frog. He got suspended from Twitter, but that's the fool who's been saying that shit all season. Trevor Lawrence, man. Or Caleb. Wait, he said Caleb Williams, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Come on.
Next one. Caleb Breslin says Bandy shouldn't have been rostered in the NFL ever.
Caleb, we've come a long way.
You know, Bandy wasn't even good enough to make the XFL draft, right?
I did not know that. That's a tad.
That's not my opinion. That's just a fact. Like, he wasn't good enough to even get selected for the XFL draft. So that kind of shows you where he is as a player. And, you know, he's a starter. He was playing in the second half.
You're all over 6 foot. Jeez.
Crispy said, realistically, if ownership wanted to fire Staley, when would they do it? I think it would happen in the next 24 hours. Tron forward, 2006 remains the strongest team we ever had, and we still got out coached. Sure,
yeah. Chargers averaged more points per drive last year than 2006 offense, and they still didn't make the postseason.
Yep, they were like 12th in NFL history last year in like drive success rate on offense last year. So that's fun. Tim was saying that his earlier chat was referring to Alex leaving GAC at the end of the season. He got to stay, so. You know, we got the.
We're taking a week break regardless.
Yeah, maybe a month break.
All right, we'll get to some of these other ones. Caleb, we won't see Keenan Allen in a Chargers jersey again. I think that's a little dramatic there.
The name that I've heard about moving on the most so far this year has been Keenan Allen. I'll say that much. Not that they would, but it's been brought up several times at several points.
They couldn't move on this season if they wanted to, right?
Yeah, there's a clean cut and save money here.
There is in 2023. I mean,
well, in terms of cap, right, Arjun?
I mean,
I don't remember if it's 2023 or if it's 2024. I think 2024 is the clean one.
Yeah, while we're on the topic of contracts, stop using Spot Track. It's over the cap is way better.
Thank you. There you go.
Yeah, so in terms of Keenan Allen, if they straight up cut him pre-June 1, they would take on a $6.9 million dead cap hit, and they would save $14.8 million. If they post-dated that to after June 1st, it would be dead cap of It would be dead cap of 4.2 and cap savings of 17.5. Trade is basically the same as cutting pre-June 1st. So there you go. All right. Max Vegas said, not going to lie, the ref chased him down. Hall of Fame instigator. I agree. That was not ideal behavior, I think. Oh, man. We got a lot more of these, don't we?
You want me to read them? On a switch? Yeah, go for a break. It. From Kendall Larson, this loss really, really hurt. Thank you guys for your coverage. It makes it slightly more bearable. Hopeless now, but I believe I will hope again. Come some coaching changes. Thanks, guys. Oh, yeah. We're winning the Super Bowl in about 4 months. For sure. All in, baby.
All right, let's get to the next one.
God. Joe Alexander, tell me why the two away games I went to in the past year are this game tonight and week 18 last year. Why do we deserve this? What did we do for this?
Thoughts and prayers. Thoughts and prayers, man. That's hard. I'm sorry.
Yeah, let me say this too. So Brooke and I have been to other Utah games, like away games where they've won. My parents, however, the last games that they have been to were this year's away games. This year's Rose Bowl, which was an atrocity. Last year's Rose Bowl, the Pac-12 championship loss at the hands of Justin Herbert in 2019, Pac-12 championship loss at the hands of Washington in 2018. They're like 0-6 in their last road trip game. So, you know, shit happens, I guess.
What a life.
Yeah.
From John Webb, Foster is Storm 2.0 is a first what it takes to get Peyton. Denver doesn't have a first to give. We'd be competing with them in Arizona. Thanks, bolt up. Cliff Kingsbury, hope you enjoy Thailand.
Great. I've been there. That was awesome. Thailand. That was a great tweet.
It was also a great tweet from Bridget saying that she thinks there's going to be more one-way tickets to Thailand after the game.
Ooh, interesting. Yeah, my goal, I was thinking about this even before the game, my goal for some of the draft this year will be to try to just give the Chargers middle floor players, even if they don't necessarily need that player, and that player may not play a ton. I'd rather go get them, honestly, a backup tackle in the third round than maybe like another receiver or something. It depends, but the drop off from a good player to Foster Sorrell, you can't do that. That will tank the team, and literally we saw tonight how catastrophic it could be.
In terms of the Denver thing, they do have a first. They got a first-round pick from the Dolphins, which is the Niners' first-round pick, courtesy of the Bradley Chubb trade. So they have one first-round pick this year.
Oh, that's true. I forgot about that.
We'll get to the rest of that in a second. Have a good day, says, am I crazy for wanting the front staff to draft Bijan? Run game is absolutely atrocious. They have way too many other needs to draft a running back in the first round.
If you think the running back is the problem, you should just look at the O-line blocking. Like, I know Eckler hasn't been as good as a pure runner this year, but the O-line just can't run block for shit. So,
yeah,
this is not Bijan won't solve the problem, I promise you.
Right. I mean, and if they had Bijan, then they're just going to run him to the right. And, you know, and if...
That's an improvement.
Yeah.
I'll take Bijan to the right. I'm not taking Bijan to the right.
Sorry, I meant to say they'll fucking run him to the left and he'll run into, I don't know, Foster Sarrell's ass. And, you know, so then
on the team next year, dude.
Storm Norton was on the fucking team this year. So they didn't use him.
Alex was right. Oh, no.
They didn't fucking use him for shit, but I mean.
Nice dude, I guess.
All right. Topher, been here since 94-95. If Staley is so analytical, why didn't he realize the Jags game plan was the same in the second half as the first game we played? I don't know if we can say that 100% certainty right now.
It seemed like in the second half they were pushing the ball downfield more and a lot more screens, which the first game was mostly RPOs, which the Chargers locked up in the first half. Yeah. But it seemed like the Chargers were focused on stopping that even in the second half, even when the Jags adjusted, which, again, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Topher again, 14-2 with Schottenheimer. Now we get this trash Madden on pro difficulty type play. That's a good way to say that. Will Struthers, shout out to Will Struthers, man, former fellow Bolt Beat writer as well. Appreciate the content this season. Super awesome to see what you guys have built. Unbelievably embarrassing loss, but that's. He said, "What's the timeline on staff news? Hard to see any hope beyond cleaning house in the heat of the moment." So, appreciate the super chat there. In terms of the coaching staff, we'll run through it as best as we can here in a second. Want to get to some of the specifics here, but yeah. Christian Hernandez again. Why doesn't Herbert running anymore? I feel like coaching has to do with it. Lombardi never called any rollouts or got him out of the pocket second half.
They called, I think, one play action shot and it was a sack. So, because they called the same three plays.
Running is also part of the ribs. Like, I mean, you know,
yeah, totally.
Had cracked ribs for 3 months.
Yeah.
Kendall Larson says, "What do you say to Chargers fans after this?"
I'm sorry.
Cheers and, you know, throw one back. I don't know.
Keep drinking.
Yeah, what if you don't drink?
Oh. Keep eating funeral potatoes.
Yeah. Keep chowing down on those funeral potatoes.
Oh, man.
All right. Do we know how many more we have, by the way?
I don't know. People just keep sending us money.
We'll be here until fucking Monday morning.
Oh, okay. We'll just run through. We'll try and keep going, I guess. Staley deserves some much blame for the offense. He's the head coach. Everything runs through him. He has been allowing this all year. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the complacency to let the offense just be whatever it was, next man up, I think that is definitely part of Staley, who gets his defensive guys.
Tara Romero, people want Sean Payton. My only worry with that is that he would keep Lombardi, and Lombardi is so detrimental to Herbert's growth in every single way. I don't know if he would keep Joe Lombardi. I don't know if that's
I don't think he would.
Like, it wouldn't surprise me if he decided to keep Joe around, but also in that instance, Joe Lombardi's not calling plays. Like, that's all Sean Payton. So, you know, I've said this, like, same thing. It's like, you know, you're talking about, like, the difference between Matt Nagy and Andy Reid. Like, it's not the same thing when the disciple runs it. Like, the Joe Lombardi is the master of the offense.
We made it.
We made it to what? That was the end
of the super chats.
That was the end. Okay.
Okay. Is the discussion properly tabled?
Okay. So,
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Talking about Brandon Staley, first and foremost about Sean Payton, because Sean Payton is obviously the name that everybody wants to talk about. So we'll talk about him, or at least mention what it'll cost to potentially get him, and then we'll talk about Brandon Staley. So there was a report, I believe, from ESPN a few weeks ago that the Saints were looking for a trade package of sorts for Sean Payton that was comparable to the trade package that the Raiders got, or excuse me, that the Raiders got from the Buccaneers for John Gruden back in the early 2000s. That trade package was 2 first-round picks, 2 second-round picks, and I think it was like $8 million in cash. That's the first thing when it comes to Sean Payton. I don't know if that is exactly the trade package it would take, but it's not going to be like just a first round pick. Like I saw a comment in here, like throw a couple seconds at the Saints. They're not doing that. They're not doing that for Sean Payton. You're going to have to give up at least 2 first-round picks, in my opinion. The other thing is that you're going to have to rework his contract and pay him at least $20 million a year. So those are the other things that you have to talk about when it comes to Sean Payton. That's the hot name. You're talking about at least 2 first-round picks, and you're talking about $20 million in a contract while also paying Brandon Staley his buyout, which it's not a ton of money, but you know, that is what it is. So that's the Sean Payton stuff that I wanted to get out of the way, clarify that everybody kind of asking about him. That being said, Brandon Staley, obviously I can't imagine a worse 2-week stretch of media attention than what Brandon Staley is about to receive after, you know, playing the starters last week for too long, after Mike Williams gets injured, fractures his back, and everything kind of gets brought back up again yesterday. And now you're talking about the third worst blown lead in NFL playoff history in consecutive weeks. So I don't know how tuned in the Chargers front office is going to be, Chargers ownership going to be with the media and the way that they are talking about him. That, I guess, is a different discussion. To me, I think the Chargers should move on at this point and try and get a different coaching staff to maximize this window, because whatever you think of the players, whatever you think of the window, they went all in on this window. I just think it's pretty clear at this point that this coaching staff is not the right coaching staff to maximize this team. Tyler.
Oh, okay. There, like you said, could not have been a worse scenario for Brandon Staley, because even before the game, you and I had similar thoughts on that Ian Rappaport, you know, segment or whatever, where, you know, he reported that, you know,
yeah,
even though Staley earlier in the week said that it was just his decision, like, yep, it's definitely me. Ian Rappaport all of a sudden has a segment that, yep, the entire organization and everybody was behind this. It was an organizational decision to play Mike Williams and really the whole team through most of that game. So to me, I thought that was signaling, because, you know, you feed one guy information, they feed it to everyone else, you speak through the media, that they had Brandon Staley's back. It would not surprise me to see Brandon Staley back, although I do think both of the coordinators are fired if he does return. Until what happened tonight, where it's like, I don't think they could have done a worse thing. Not only, and it wasn't just like, yes, they blew a huge lead and that's fireable as is, but you could even go further and go back to last week, where if you say, listen, if they had Mike Williams, they might have won tonight. Now, again, that's a whole wishy-washy topic. We've already covered it, but I really thought before the game that they were signaling that they were going to stick by him no matter what. With this loss and the embarrassment tonight and ending the season the way that they have, and frankly, you know, beating up on some bad teams and losing to the Broncos en route to the postseason, like, I don't know, man. I really think... So I've been out since the Kansas City game. Like, I've made that clear that I was out on this coaching staff by the Kansas City game. But they were at a point this game where I was like, yeah, you know what? I think they've turned it around. And instead, they just got out coached in the second half, which makes me think that, like, okay, well, the players did well in the first half and you got out coached in the second. I don't know. I think at this point, I can't trust Brandon Staley to continue to do better, I guess, next year, which sucks, because, like, you could see a path, and there, if he stays, this might happen. There's a path where he could get better and you get the right offensive coordinator. Like, you go find your Ryan Ficken that turns around your offense. I mean, this seems a great team potentially if they're healthy, but I just don't know if you can trust him to get there. And unfortunately, there's been too many missteps throughout the year in other areas for other reasons. I just can't trust him to pull this off next year, to be completely honest. It sucks, but it also felt like the one thing when they hired him was, well, there are always going to be changes in the offensive whatever, because they're going to keep, you know, the offensive coordinator might get hired or whatever, and there's no real stability around Herbert in the offensive system because you have a defensive-minded head coach. I feel like if you're going to make that break and officially commit to the offensive head coach, whoever that is, I do think this is a great time to do it.
Yeah. No, Brandon Staley should be fired. Tom Telesco should be fired. There's no coming back from this.
Oh, Telesco, and for sure.
Yeah. Look, 27-0 is 27-0, man. It's kind of as simple as that, but part of it is, like Tyler said, maybe there's a world where you hire an offensive coordinator and you, like, continue to wait for Staley to develop. You can't fucking wait for Staley to develop anymore. Like, you have to get a coach in there, whether that's Sean Payton, whether that's somebody else, I don't know. But who is this? It is this an established coach, right? Like, Doug Peterson out there tonight, like, if Doug Peterson coached this game for the Chargers, they win, right? Like, if Bill Belichick coaches this game for the Chargers, they win. If Andy Reid coaches this game for the Chargers, they win, et cetera, et cetera. How are you going to continue to ask Brandon Staley to, like, go out there and coach against Andy Reid and John Harbaugh and all of these guys in the AFC, which he's going to have to continue to do for a number of years, when he hasn't really proven that he can do it? And every time he goes against one of those coaches, he loses, right? I mean, you know, that's that's all you can say. Look, he beat Andy Reid once, right? In his first year. Bill Belichick lost to him. And then tonight against Doug Peterson, where Doug Peterson, like, didn't even really do anything that was, like, all that special, outside of, like, turn up the aggression and kind of change the RPO game plan. Doug Peterson didn't, like, do a whole lot in this game to take it away from Brandon Staley, and he just never adjusted, man. Like, this is a team that, you know, especially when you talk about going all in, right, and, you know, restructuring the Khalil Mack contract and, you know, extending all the guys on this roster for the long term for this Justin Herbert window. I don't know how you can bank on Brandon Staley improving in another year and sell that A, to the team, and B, to the fans / the media, right? I just don't think you can do it anymore. And, like, you know, the media is about to have a fucking field day with Staley. They deserve it. Like, they deserve their fucking field day with Staley, because they said he was going to be shit, and he decided to play Mike Williams in that game, lost Mike Williams, and then blew a 27-point fucking lead afterward, right? Like, they were right. Like, you know, yeah, I mean, a lot of it is going to be, like, you know, grandpas on fucking ESPN talking about analytics and screaming at the sun, but, like, whatever method they got to being right, they were fucking right about this, you know, regardless of what their take on it is. So, you know, as far as, like, you know, obviously the fourth down stuff, that's Staley's whole, like, thing with the media, in addition to all these other things that have developed this year. But, like, Staley hasn't given any reason why I think he should remain the head coach, right? And anything that he has given that's positive, we've talked about, you know, the game plan against the Dolphins, the game plan against the Titans, and some of the games he has won this year. I think the losses are just so much worse, right? Because, like, this is a team that in the right positions, you know, really should still be in the playoffs tonight, you know, competing potentially with the Chiefs next week. But the reason they're not in that position is because of Brandon Staley's poor leadership tonight, poor coaching tonight, and the decision not to bench Mike Williams, and the decision not to bench the Chargers starters last week. So, you know, you can say it's, like, a one-off thing, and, you know, obviously the whole argument regarding benching Mike Williams and all this other stuff goes back, and, you know, everyone has their own opinions on that at this point. But, you know, at some point, it's the results over the process, right? And the process that Staley took led to inherently riskier results that ended up not working out. So I think it's a shame that this didn't go better. But at this point, I don't know what Brandon Staley has shown you that in year three, things are going to be magically different if you find the right offensive coordinator. Because I don't think he's improved that much in terms of game management. I really don't think he has done that much at this point. Sad to say, but I think you just got to move on.
To Alex's point before Arjun jumps in, the Chargers beat one other playoff team this year, and that was the Dolphins. That was it.
Yeah. And the Dolphins went on to lose all but one of the rest of their games, which the one game that they won the rest of the year was the Skylar Thompson game against the Jets in week 18.
9-6, baby. All right, Arjun, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, I think... So first off, I think I don't think it's, like, this easy decision to fire Staley. This roster this year was the most injured roster, not only in the league, but I think we've seen of this Chargers team in, like, recent years, where Slater out, Bosa out, Keenan, Mike have all missed time. It was a tough year, and he got them to the playoffs, him and Herbert. The defense
the pass defense turned it around in the second half. We saw some great game plans. We saw some great defensive games called by Staley. And, you know, I think we have to give him a little bit of credit for that. But then also, just like Steven brought up, it was one playoff team they beat, and it was the most fraudulent playoff team probably of the entire on both conferences, where the Dolphins' offense looked better than they did because they got to play some very easy pass defenses, and they got the blueprint from the Niners. I don't even think it was Staley who kind of inherited this game plan. He saw what the Niners did, how much success they had, and took that.
He was mad about that too.
Yeah. I think the fourth down stuff, he's gotten worse at. All the edges he gained for the Chargers, winning the Browns game, winning the Chiefs game by going for it on fourth down. We didn't see any of it this year. We saw two games against the Chiefs where he's kicking and punting it on fourth down. And now he just blew a 27-0 lead in the playoffs. And I don't know. It's tough to justify anything right now because you can't blow that lead. Yeah. You can't. You're supposed to, like, I don't care that you're missing Mike Williams. You're up 27-0. Your defense has forced five turnovers. It's tough to ask the defense to do any more than force five turnovers. But at some point, like, you're a defensive head coach. Like, at some point, we should be able to rely on you to get a stop. And I think all of us have had that feeling of this is the inflection point of the game. And we saw that. It was right when the Jags scored that touchdown before half. It's like, okay, tides are turning a little bit. You run a jet sweep and then a 30-yard punt, and then the tides turn. And I thought last year that we got over this whole feeling of the Chargers are going to blow another lead. The Chargers are going to blow this game somehow with Anthony Lynn, with Mike McCoy. But we're right back at it, where it's the same old Chargers. It's the same old Chargers, where there's no faith to extend the lead. Once they get up, it's complacent. There's no ability to switch the game in your favor, and it sucks. It really does. Because, like, I thought Staley was the guy after last year. Even though they didn't make the playoffs, he was doing a lot of things right. I just think he had the personnel. This year was his year to build the roster in his image. Obviously, injuries derailed that, but you get into the playoffs, and you're only really missing Mike Williams and Rashawn Slater at this point. J.C. Jackson was worse than Michael Davis, so I don't really think that cancels out. Yeah. And this is the most healthy you've been, and you choke that game away. It's tough to really see any vision that, you know, he's going to be back. I don't know what the decision is, but it's very tough.
Yeah, and I think, like Arjun said, kind of going into this year where you invest all that money in the defense, you get the personnel that Staley wanted, you do all the things that Staley wanted in the offseason, right? In terms of swinging the Khalil Mack trade and going out and signing J.C. Jackson. Obviously, that didn't work for, you know, different reasons in terms of the injury. But the Chargers really had the dream offseason, so to speak. And for it to not come into any fruition, it is tough. And I think the real reason that it's hard to buy a year three of Staley for me, and this is kind of what Arjun was pointing at, is like, you could say after year one, hey, Staley got better at this throughout the season and, you know, improved his negatives or the drawbacks throughout the season. I think Staley got worse at the things he was good at last year in terms of making those hard decisions. And, you know, going for it on fourth down, he regressed as a decision maker. And then the things that he was bad at in terms of, you know, potentially coaching up to his competition and the in-game adjustments, those got worse this year, right? So it's in addition to saying we're kind of going in the wrong direction here, right? If you want to see a coach who comes into the league and every year improves, that's just not what you're seeing with Staley right now. I think you can say he improved after year one. I don't see how you say he improved in year two to the point where you can give him a year three. And in fact, it's hard to say he didn't regress, especially considering A, what the expectations were, and then B, the situations that he was put in and what he did with said situations. This year was supposed to be different. And it wasn't different because of the various deficiencies of the coaching staff, whether that's Staley himself or Lombardi or, you know, kind of the rest of the leadership vacuum in that sense as well. So tough all around, but like everyone in the chat, everyone on Twitter, we're talking an hour after the game, so everyone's obviously frustrated. I don't know if this is what people will think in a week, but if you're asking me in a week whether I'm going to change my mind on whether he should be fired, I don't feel like I'm going to wake up tomorrow or a week from now or a month from now and think anything different. There's just been regression on all fronts, and I think the Chargers need someone who is proven.
Yeah, go ahead, Tyler.
No, I think you're probably about to say the same thing, where if they do fire Brandon Staley, they've always pivoted to someone. Granted, it's usually been with Telesco, and I do think Telesco has gone regardless. They've always pivoted to someone who's different and uniquely different, and whatever the previous coach was lacking, they've always pivoted to what that candidate had that maybe that previous candidate didn't have. And, you know, McCoy, you go to Lynn for the players, because McCoy just, like, you could tell that he just had no control over a locker room. Lynn had the players, but he was backwards thinking, or wasn't forward thinking, at least. Staley's the forward thinking guy, defense side of the ball. And so now I think your only option left in the way that they should pivot, I think at this point with Herbert on his rookie contract, you have to, veteran coach. And I really don't want a cycle of them interviewing Jason Garrett, but they're going to do some stuff like that. And I mean, I don't think they'll hire Jason Garrett by any means, but I also don't blame them for interviewing these veteran head coaches, because if they do fire Staley, and again, that's a big if, I mean, they're going to have to cycle through some veteran coaches, and he's one of them.
Yeah, so first and foremost, regarding Tom Telesco, I've felt like this is his last chance. You know, this was it. This, you know, him and Staley had, you know, presumably a much more collaborative relationship than previous coaching staffs. And, you know, it was everything was kumbaya in the off season. And, you know, it was a great off season, like Alex highlighted, you know, but there's just no way to justify, you know, him sticking around to hire a fourth head coach. Like there's just no way. You know, there's some uncertainty about his contract. I think this is not his last year under contract. I'm pretty sure that the Chargers will not sit here with a lame duck GM. That being said, like it makes too much sense to clean house in that regard. Regarding kind of my final takes here about Brandon Staley, this is not an Anthony Lynn situation for me. You know, we did like three shows in 2020, like Anthony Lynn sucks, fire him. I'm not at that point. You know, I'm not at the point where I think Anthony Lynn is just like a terrible head coach. Like I think Brandon Staley, I think you could probably still talk yourself into like saving him as a head coach, you know, get a veteran offensive coordinator in here, you know, get him back to his fourth down mentality. And I think he does do some good things. I mean, he, you know, it would have been very easy for him to lose this locker room this season, and he didn't. And, you know, for the most part, in terms of timeout management, game management, he's been pretty good. So I think you could theoretically talk yourself into Brandon Staley being fixed, so to speak. I just, with the way that this team is built, the way that this team has been constructed to win now, I just don't think that Brandon Staley is the guy to maximize this window that the Chargers are in. So that is my take. I don't think Brandon Staley is the right man for the job, but I'm not at like Anthony Lynn levels right now of this guy sucks, like get him off my team. Like the end of 2020 was just brutal for that specific team. So this is just more about me thinking that Brandon Staley's not the guy that to lead this team to a Super Bowl. And I think even if you go about trying to fix him with a more veteran coaching staff, I just don't know if that really changes anything. So to me, the iron is hot. You make a clean sweep of this coaching staff, of this front office, and ideally Ryan Ficken sticks around. But I just don't think that this specific regime can lead the Chargers to the promised land.
Let it rip, Alex.
This is Anthony Lynn bad. This is Anthony Lynn bad. Like, we can try to salvage it all we want. 27-0 is 27 fucking zero.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
Like, yeah. I don't know, man. Like, what are we talking ourselves into at this point? Like, you can talk about improving and getting an offensive coordinator and all that. I don't think there's any coming back from this.
To be clear, I do agree with these takes.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that, like, I could see a world where, like, the front office and the Chargers organization, yeah, and people can talk themselves into, you know, saving Brandon Staley. I'm not one of those people, to be clear. Yeah, I agree with your takes. I'm just saying that I think that is there is a realm of possibility here where Brandon Staley is saved by a veteran, you know, offensive coordinator or something like that.
Yeah, and oh my God, are people seriously saying in the chat that we forget that we were up 27-0? Jesus fucking Christ. Anyway, regardless, I think what we said is just Brandon Staley, when they fired Anthony Lynn, was the coach for the moment in a sense, right? Because it's like, okay, you have this young team. It is when he was hired, it was not a contender yet, right? You have to kind of rebuild things culture wise. You have to continue to develop Justin Herbert. You have to continue to go with this. But Justin Herbert's here, right? He's a top three or five quarterback, depending on how what you want to define it. You've invested all the resources into this roster. You've done like everything from that sense, you know, and obviously depth is something that we'll talk about in drafting and Tom Telesco and all that. But you've pulled all the resources in, right? You've put all your poker chips in the middle of the table. And I think at this point, like, Brandon Staley's just not going to be that guy who pushes you over the top. And I think that's like the biggest reason for firing him. Like, honestly, I don't know. I just don't know how this like continues, like we said, to kind of get better next year. And, you know, obviously there's going to be a lot of hurt with how the season ended, particularly these last 2 weeks of the season. And maybe that's not fully representative of Brandon Staley's 2022 season. But yeah, I think he could have been the coach for the moment in 2021. But if we want this team to be anywhere near a Super Bowl contender next year, I don't know how you're signing on the dotted line for Brandon Staley.
Arjun, any other thoughts there?
First off, shout out to Aldo Vlado. Arjun has the best hair here. Sorry, Tyler. I will take that crown.
Second is cool, I guess.
But it's, again, it goes back to, you can't just blow 27-0 leads in the playoffs. It's like, I don't understand how that happens. It, again, starts with a failed jet sweep. I remember Tyler and I went to the first training camp practice. They ran a jet sweep with DeAndre Carter. I turned to Tyler, I'm like, that's going to be a good play, right? And it hasn't worked all season in the biggest stage. I don't know if that was Herbert's check into a jet sweep or an audible, or that was the actual call, but you can't be running third down, you know, jet sweeps to Michael Bandy. And even if your defense, Brandon Staley, got you five turnovers, got you great field position, I don't think that excuses you from giving up 24 points and a half. Did the Jags even like punt in the second half? I think they probably punted like once or something. Like, at some point, you have to get a stop, like, you're a defensive coach. And when the Jags were down 16, it was like, okay, they're going to score. When they were down 10, it was like, okay, they're going to score. There's just – there's nothing that I got from Brandon Staley this year, even last year, that he can adjust. They've gotten cooked by good offensive coaches like Andy Reid, like – Kyle Shanahan, like Josh McDaniels in the second half of games. And we saw that today, where their first half game plan is great. Staley knows how to game plan for an offense
based on the script,
based on their script, based on their past film, better than many coaches in the league as a defensive coach. But what he struggles at, and I haven't seen any growth from him here in either 2 years, is adjusting on the fly. And that's a problem on both offensive and defensive coaching staffs, where the offense looked great in the first half. Herbert is firing on all cylinders. The second half, they go back to the same standard seven-step dropbacks. It felt like they barely used any play action. Nothing to get Herbert on the move to kind of mitigate Foster Sorrell. And you're still running the ball behind Sorrell instead of Zion Johnson and Trey Pipkins, who have been moving people all year. So it's, again, it comes back to, you can't blow a 27-point lead in the playoffs. But But how does that happen? It's because you're not adjusting as a coach and you're still playing conservative in fourth down and in high leverage situations.
Yeah. I don't know. Before Alex jumps in, the last drives of the Jaguars, they had the touchdown before the half. And then in the second half, they went touchdown, 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 field goal.
Yeah.
And like four of those drives were like 14 plays, 7 minutes off the clock too. Like it was extended drive after extended drive. It was awful.
Like real quick, I think a great measure of like how good a coach is just look at the third quarter. That's when you go into halftime and make your adjustments. That's when you go into halftime, you look at the film and say, this is what they did. This is what we're going to counter with. The Chargers are the worst third quarter team in the NFL. I don't care what the Vikings are. The Chargers are the worst team. And it's like, everyone knows as a Charger fan that in the third quarter, they're going to stink it up. And it's how bad they stink it up to how much they have to mitigate in the fourth quarter. And today they couldn't mitigate anything. And on top of that, Dicker misses a kick to potentially give them a chance to at least win. And, you know, now we know the end result.
Yeah. And I think the biggest thing with that is just like Arjun said, lack of adjustments in the third quarter. It's not coincidental that they've been the worst third quarter team every game. And then the one time they were a good third quarter team, it was against the fucking Rams, right? Like that was the one time you could point to a third quarter and be like, oh, they did good. All the Rams were dead and they were playing Baker Mayfield for like 3 weeks. So, you know, at this point, really, what it just comes down to for me, and if you're not a good adjustments coach, it's really hard to buy you as a candidate in the AFC. Like I said earlier, you're going to have to go against Andy Reid. You're going to have to go against John Harbaugh. You're going to have to go against Sean McDermott. You're going to have to go against Doug Peterson, you know, presumably for like the next number of years here. And I just, Brandon Staley probably had like the worst possible year he could have had from an adjustment standpoint to be able to convince you that he's going to be able to go against those guys and come out on top, you know. And I didn't even say Bill Belichick because the Patriots aren't in the playoffs this year, but you know, same kind of concept there.
Yeah. Official stats for the Chargers in 2022, 29th in offensive scoring in the third quarter, and 25th in defensive scoring allowed in the third quarter. There you go.
They're like the Golden State Warriors are the best third quarter team like in NBA history. The Kevin Durant 2019 Golden State Warriors. The Chargers are like the complete polar opposite of that. Like they're the shittiest third quarter team of all time in American professional sports. There's no other team that's worse than them.
Every single week I'm like, shout out to Panasaurus Rex. Woo, not 32nd. Yeah, right. Every single week I'm like, yeah, the Chargers won the toss. They deferred. They're gonna get the ball the second half, and it doesn't mean shit. They never score a touchdown in the third quarter. It's so frustrating. They won the coin toss like 16 times this year, man, and they had the ball to start the second half in every single game. And it didn't mean shit all year long. It's so frustrating. They scored like 4 third quarter touchdowns all season long, man. Like they broke that streak against the Rams, and then they didn't score a third quarter touchdown last week or today. It's so frustrating.
Tonight, I was excited in the third quarter when they started and they punted from their own 40. Because you know what punting from your own 40 is? Not going 3 and fucking out to start the half. That's how shit this offense is in the third quarter, man. Like, it's horrendous. So, Joe Lombardi certainly can't be back. I mean, that's a non-starter. But, like, I don't know. Like, in terms of the coaching staff in general, like, I mean, the thing that Arjun just said a couple minutes ago, you know, you're kind of judged by your adjustments, especially when all of these teams are uber-talented and they've stacked all the pieces. There's no really untalented team in the AFC. They're all up there, you know, and right now the Ravens and the Dolphins don't have their quarterbacks in these playoffs, but if they did, you know, it would really be a tight race between those teams. But you know, as the Chargers, like, you're just not going to play like the fucking, I don't know, You're not going to play the fucking Cardinals every week. And even when they played the Cardinals, they looked like shit for most of that game, too, until Gerald Everett got a two-point conversion. But I don't know, man. Like, it's just really tough to watch, again, from an adjustment standpoint. And I don't know how you go into next year, even if they hire a new offensive coordinator, and be like, well, now the third quarter offense is going to work. And if you're the worst... I mean, I honestly think this is kind of merciful that they lost this game, because if they went into Kansas City next week without Mike Williams and without DeAndre Carter,
and without Michael Davis,
and had a Joe Lombardi stinky third quarter in that game, you're probably talking about them losing, I don't know, 51-20. But I don't know, man. Like, this is just, it's tough to take, and I don't know how it gets better from here.
Yeah, I just, the way that this offense has performed all season long with Justin Herbert at quarterback, and again, there's been injuries, absolutely have played a factor, but it's just inexcusable. And again, today they come out of halftime, their first drive goes 7 plays, 37 yards. They punt from the Jaguars 38 yard line. It was a 27 yard punt. But you look at the plays that were run, it was an Austin Eckler run right, their only run right of the second half, that was tackle for loss for 4 yards. Justin Herbert short pass, probably stick to Trey McKitty, for 5 yards on 2nd and 14, 3rd and 9 at the LA Chargers 26. They run a screen pass to Gerald Everett, which was taken 25 yards. It was a pretty badass play by Gerald Everett, to be honest. Mm-hmm. 1st and 10, short pass to Keenan Allen. 1st and 10, pass incomplete, short right to Gerald Everett. 2nd and 10, Justin Herbert pass incomplete, short right to Keenan Allen. 3rd and 10, Justin Herbert pass incomplete, short left to Austin Eckler. Like, there's just zero attempt to like access the vertical parts of the field. And like, shocker, you can't really do that when you're running out 4 slot receivers, basically. And then to end the game, so the Jaguars score a touchdown with 3 minutes and 22 seconds left. Like, literally the only thing that offense cannot have happen in that instance is a 3 and out. And that is exactly what happened. Justin Herbert gets sacked on 1st down for 7 yards. Then they did another screen pass to Austin Eckler, went for 4 yards. And then at that point, you're 3rd and 13 from your own 22-yard line. Like, the offensive game plan and execution was just atrocious. Again, the only thing that you could not have happened was a 3 and out where you didn't take any time off the clock. And that's exactly what happened. And that's exactly what has happened all season long in these instances where the Chargers need an extended drive. And instead it's a 3 and out, and they punt the ball to the team with all the momentum. And that's what happens. You get the Travis Etienne run on 4th down, and the Chargers lose. So, you know, it's inexcusable to me to have this kind of offense with Justin Herbert at quarterback, even if the injuries, even with all the inconsistencies, even with the receiver depth, like, you have Justin Herbert at quarterback. Do you know how many teams in the NFL would kill to have Justin Herbert at quarterback? Like, I just tweeted this out yesterday. The Washington Commanders have had like 17 different starting quarterbacks since they let Kirk Cousins walk in free agency, including like Colt McCoy 4 times and Taylor Heineke 3 times. Like, you don't think they would kill to have Justin Herbert at quarterback? So it's inexcusable to me the way that they coach offense and have coached offense this whole season.
And I promise you, the right take isn't that. The right take coming out of this game I do think Herbert didn't play up to his standard. I do think he wasn't great, especially in the second half. But I promise you the answer isn't that he isn't the guy. And I think, if anything, this was a game that kind of propelled Lawrence into that tier 2. Now, I said it in week 16 that I thought he could be a tier 2 quarterback. And now I think he's even with Herbert, but this is not a Jags podcast. I'm just saying this doesn't take away from Herbert being the guy. And it shouldn't. The reason everyone on Twitter, in the media, is clamoring for Sean Payton is because of Justin Herbert. If he sucks all this bad, if he isn't this guy, then why does everyone want him to be quote-unquote unlocked?
Yeah.
It's almost as if we haven't even seen the best version of him, because we haven't. We haven't. Yeah. His rookie year, we saw a vertical offense that was poorly coached, had a terrible O-line, and, you know, sucked at game management, at like the game management stuff, which made him look bad. This regime, we're seeing a slightly better coached team, I think, from a like execution standpoint, especially this year. I think last year they had some troubles pre-snap, slightly better execution. but everything is horizontal. There's no vertical. It's all about getting to third and manageable, never trying to convert on first and second down. It's always Herbert go be a god on third down. You know, Herbert today, 0.54 EPA per play on third down. The Chargers on early downs, negative 0.04 EPA per play.
Jesus, you want to compare Christ.
Compare that to the Jags, 0.15 EPA per play, 55% success rate on early downs for the Jags, 35% success rate on early downs for the Chargers. There's like, I listened to Ben Johnson, who obviously I would think he's a great head coaching candidate if, you know, whatever happens, happens. The one thing he prioritized in his first press conference before the season, early down play calls. I want to stay ahead of the sticks and not only get to third and manageable, I want to convert first downs on early downs. That's never been a point of emphasis with this coaching staff. It's always relying on Justin Herbert to be a god on third downs, and that's not an offense. It wasn't an offense last year. It wasn't an offense his rookie year. It wasn't an offense this year, especially when you can't fucking pass protect with anyone, like with your backup tackles at Storm Norton and Foster Sorrell. And everything got exposed tonight on the biggest stage, and it sucks because it makes him look bad. And then also, you know, the coaching staff obviously should take a lot of the blame for that.
Yeah, and I think like Arjun said, the reason this job is so valuable if it were to become open is because of Justin Herbert, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we could talk about the other stuff on the team. Obviously, you have Joey Bosa and Mike Williams and Keenan Allen and the whole thing. But he's the guy that makes the engine run. He's the guy that makes, you know, Sean Payton not really take like the Cardinals and the Broncos jobs super seriously, right? Like, he would rather fucking have this Chargers job over all of those positions, right? Like, that's pretty clear from what we know so far as the Sean Payton thing. And I think past Sean Payton, when you look at other head coaching candidates, there are plenty of other guys who would just kill to have Justin Herbert, like Steven said earlier, you know, like with the Washington thing. It's just hard. The two playoff games that happened today are Kyle Shanahan with Brock Purdy, you know, launching fucking nukes all over the field. Brock Purdy, of all people, and we can't figure out how to keep a 27-0 lead with Justin Herbert. We couldn't figure it out. But Kyle Shanahan is on his eighth quarterback at this point, and the Niners are probably 50-50 odds to win the NFC with the Eagles. What are we doing? Not saying the Niners aren't a more talented roster, but at some point, you just know when you have a coach that can maximize everything you have. Mm-hmm. And you know that when you have a coach that can hold everything back. And that's this Chargers team right now. And it's hard to watch that Jaguars game and think anything else.
Tyler, any final thoughts here?
Honestly, no. At this point, I think Alex sums it up pretty good there.
Yeah, so there were some other super chats that I saw earlier. Apologies that we didn't get to them. There were some ones from Nick, I think, you know, gave a nice, generous super sticker, expressing his thanks for us. And we really appreciate all of you guys sticking in. Honestly, was definitely not expecting this many people in the chat today. Definitely not expecting this many super chats. So appreciate all of you. We'll see what happens. You know, I would expect some kind of coaching change, at least at the coordinator level, over the next couple days, and we'll certainly have you guys covered. So obviously there's Sean Payton, there's Jim Harbaugh out there that are kind of the big fish of this cycle. We'll see what happens there. You know, the Chargers would be a very attractive head coaching vacancy the second that it comes open. So we will have a show planned for later this week. When that happens will kind of obviously depend on any kind of coaching changes this week. So whenever, you know, comes and we'll have you guys covered. I have a slideshow of 20 offensive coordinator candidates that I never got to because I didn't have time because I was working on FAFSA applications at my work and then obviously went to Utah on vacation. So I'm very prepared for the offensive coordinator talk if that is what needs to be. And then we'll obviously do our homework on the head coaching talk as well. So Alex, did you have something else you wanted to add here?
No, I think we can wrap this one up.
Oh, I couldn't tell if you were trying to say something there, but
no.
Yeah. So I appreciate you guys. You know, we'll keep you posted on everything. You know, obviously this was a rough one, but thanks everybody for tuning in. So That's going to do it for us tonight. Hope everybody is able to get home safe. Have a good night with your family. Try not to think about this loss too much this weekend. At the end of the day, life does move on, unfortunately. So, yeah, we'll see you guys later.